Biomedical bioethics and environmental bioethics are separate and distinct, but shouldn't the two be joined? Richard Randolph thinks so, and he joins us now on the Bioethics Channel. Dr. Randolph is an associate professor of bioethics at the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences. He just completed a session with students of a certificate program at the Center for Practical Bioethics. Dr. Randolph, what were the main points that you were trying to get across during this session?
A couple of points. My first point was that if you look at bioethics and say, well, what does that mean? Literally, it means life ethics. Meaning life, and of course ethics, so life ethics. But presumably that would include all of life, both human and non-human life. And my point in the presentation was that what we've seen historically over the last 25 or 30 years is a divergence of two subspecializations within ethics. The first is clinical bioethics, which looks at the ethical treatment of patients, and we're all very familiar with. And then also environmental ethics, which looks at duties and obligations that humans owe to the planet and to nature. My point is that there may be some particular ethical issues, such as an avian flu pandemic, that really require both of these specializations and the expertise from both of these specializations. So how might we broaden the scope of bioethics to include, under one tent, both clinical bioethics and environmental ethics?
Well, why have these two then been under separate tents?
Well, I think it has a lot to do with just the historical development of the two subspecialties. Bioethics began as medical ethics, and if you look at a 20-year review of literature from, say, around 1970 to 1990, the issues that were focused on included things like physician-assisted suicide, medical futility, the removal of extraordinary life support, genetics as it related primarily to individual patients, in vitro fertilization, basically a focus on the beginning and ending of life. So that as the area developed, it again, the focus was on individual patients. By contrast, environmental ethics began actually quite abstractly during this period of time. You had a lot of focus on the development of abstract theories of what an environmental ethic should be, and also a focus on the wilderness of nature. And this was the sort of the historical trajectory of environmental ethics.
Now, there's strengths and weaknesses with each model, are there not?
Absolutely. I think if you look at clinical bioethics today, the singular contribution of this ethical approach is that it provides a straightforward framework for ethical decision-making for healthcare providers, physicians, nurses, social workers, for hospital ethics committees, and for ethics consultants. It provides, I think, a degree of transparency in the sense that the decision-maker can provide a clear and easily understandable explanation of why they've made the particular decisions that they've made. And that's a major contribution. I serve on a hospital ethics committee, and I couldn't imagine doing our work without this particular approach to clinical bioethics. At the same time, I would argue that there's some limitations. Over time, given the trajectory of clinical bioethics, the focus has been primarily on individual patients. And I would argue that this can create a moral myopia for bioethicists and healthcare providers, in that certain ethical issues are missed or not at the center of their thinking. If you consider healthcare for everyone, healthcare reform, which is very much in the news. Although there's a clear emphasis on individual justice for the patient within clinical bioethics, it's not clear what that model contributes to our ongoing national conversation about healthcare. Part of the reason for that is that if, by definition, the focus is on individual clinical patients, then the focus is on individuals. And I think that sometimes these more broad social issues are overlooked or not taken as seriously.
So an exclusive focus on one model or the other can cause you to miss some of the broader issues.
Right. I think that they're broader issues that require a broader focus.
What are some of the emerging issues, then, in your opinion, that are pushing this broader scope for bioethics? And I would imagine it would be things like global climate change would be one of those.
Right. The impact of global climate change on human health will be profound. I think there's a lot of work to do in terms of discerning exactly what those effects are going to be. But that's certainly an excellent example. Another is the possibility of developmental disorders among children due to the release of toxic chemicals in the environment. We're seeing more and more of that. And within public health literature, there are more and more connections are being made. But also other issues, I think, are important. For example, if you look at how we practice healthcare today, it's not very sustainable at all. We use a lot of disposable resources, particularly within a hospital, we dispose of a lot of plastic in any given day in a hospital, which is not very sustainable. So another part of this, I think, is asking how can we make healthcare in general, and particularly for hospitals, more sustainable for the planet.
And we're always anticipating that next pandemic that will happen that will have worldwide implications.
Exactly. In fact, that was the case study I used in talking with the certificate participants. The threat of an avian flu pandemic is a very real threat, and here at the Center for Practical Bioethics, I think the center's provided leadership in terms of dealing with some of those issues. And yet at the same time, this is an issue that cuts across not just clinical bioethics, but it involves also environmental ethics as well.
Have we reached a tipping point where these two issues will come together for one reason or another?
Well, I think that we're approaching a tipping point, but I can't predict, you know, when that's going to occur, certainly.
Well, you might make a lot of money if you're able to figure that out.
Well, and therein lies the dilemma for me. What I think is that we're beginning to see a growing realization by a number of bioethics scholars about the need to mend this chasm between clinical bioethics and environmental ethics, and look for ways in which we can integrate the important work of both specializations. For example, last fall I was looking at new bioethics readers. These are collections of different bioethics articles that are put together for introductory classes in bioethics. And for the first time, each of these two readers had a section on environmental ethics, which I thought was important. So we're beginning to see that, as well as more and more research done that look at environmental ethics as well as the clinic in terms of bioethics.
And the future is with a group of students like you presented to today. Do you have some optimism in this regard with young people and also, experienced folks that are part of this group, that they will be able to start moving forward in this regard?
I have a lot of optimism. I tend to be an optimistic person. In the session that I just completed, one of the students said, well, you know, when we first began, I was asking myself, what does environmental ethics have to do with why I'm here? And then you started talking about the threat of an avian flu pandemic, and I began to see the connections. And I think that that's what is happening. People are beginning to see the connections, and that's going to be very important as we go forward.
Dr. Richard Randolph is an associate professor of bioethics at the Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.